Hello and welcome to Canberra Metalheads. This is episode all over the whole reign of the show. This is episode 94. But this particular episode happens to be the first one of season 6. And we're joined here at the basement with the fellas from Posthuman. Let's get into it. From left to right, we got...
Oh, this left. I'm Sam.
And what are you doing the band, Sam?
Oh, I play bass.
Play bass? Cool.
My name's Dan. I play guitar.
Nice.
I'm Cal. I sing.
Sing? Excellent.
Sing.
Big air quotes on sing.
I thought you said simph, and I'm just like, well, fuck, you took a direction I didn't know.
This is the band Simph, actually.
You're your own groupie.
We need one.
Well, second time Cal's been on the show, but we said this is episode 94. Cal was on, I think, episode 6. So it's been a while. Representing Honest Crooks originally, probably one of the first bands that we had on that we actually got followers from when we shared the thing. People were like, oh, we might check this out. Like, for once, we actually hit the point when we had Cal on before where, like, people seen the episode and went, oh, these guys are actually getting, like, bands on that I am interested in. So here we are. Cool. 6 years and 90 fucking odd episodes later, and still have the same amount of followers as when we first started. So it's really kicking off. Now, Posthuman's fairly recent in the scene. How long have you guys been kicking for?
Our first show was like 18 months ago.
About that, and the band had existed for a few months before then as well, because originally what happened was, the way the band got together was I started doing guitar lessons with a guy named Wes Houck, who plays for the Faceless and filled in for The Idol's Murder and shit, and then I was like just doing heaps of, you know, bedroom guitarist shit, and I was like, oh fuck, I want to start a band again. It had been ages since I started a band, so I was like, oh, Cal's guy's around doing things, and like hit him up, and then we kind of just went from there. And then I started working at Chompies, and I got our drummer Mark involved.
Yep.
And from there, we just kind of, you know, started putting songs together. And then, yeah, as Sam said, like, first show was probably about 18 months ago.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, good stuff.
On that, I originally, because Dave and I have known each other for like 13 years or whatever.
Like, legitimately half our lives, hey.
But then, weird. He invited me around to play guitar. And as soon as he started playing, it was like, there's no way I could do any of this. It was like tech death.
Yeah.
And then I was kind of like, well, I've been kind of screaming in my car. so it's like, fuck it, let's commit. And then send some demos. And then that was that.
But the really funny thing about that is that since Cal's taken up vocals, I've like changed my writing style a fair bit to fit just doing the stuff I want to do. He could fully play guitar for it now. That's the ironic thing.
Fuck yeah, dude.
But vocals for me is like, it's been something that's it's a lot more fun than playing guitar.
Yep.
I don't know if it's more fun, but it's definitely, it's like the process of like the creativity is different, the flow is different.
Yep.
Writing the lyrics and then like just putting on a persona on stage and having fun.
Sure.
Is something. With guitar, you just look grumpy and bang your head. But with vocals, you're grumpy, but also...
You're telling people about it.
Yeah.
The contrast from, like, watching you play with Crooks to you playing with us as well is, like...
It's cool.
It's very really cool. And cool. It's, honestly, with, like, how involved you were with Crooks when I joined the band, I was really worried that, like, we were just going to be Honest Crooks 2. Electric Boogaloo. But like,
two honest, two crooks.
But no, like you switch it, you moving on to like vocals, which is something completely different, has like just changed the vibe from what I expected coming in. Because I came in from playing bass with Cal in a My Chemical Romance tribute band. They were like, we need a bassist.
Yeah,
you own
that.
A bass guitar.
You are now our bassist.
That's about like how it went.
And then the worst part is that like, it's funny because like Sam joined the band and I fully like dick moved it straight away. Mm-hmm. And I didn't even realize I did this at the time because I was just like, because we were writing stuff.
Yeah,
and
then Sam, you on this like a few weeks ago.
We were talking about this and I didn't realize, but like basically Sam joins the band, first time he's done like a full like death metal techie project.
Yeah.
And he comes to a jam and the first thing I do is throw him the hardest riff I've ever written. I'm like, learn this. Here's the tab.
Hell yeah.
But he did it. He fucking nailed it.
Throw it at people. Yeah.
It's a bit like, nailed it.
It's a bit like like I describe it as like the dude that wrote fucking Titanic also wrote fucking Avatar.
Yeah.
So he wrote such a good thing he had to wait for technology to catch up so that he could release it. It's just like, oh, technology's not at that level. So it's like, oh, I wrote this mad riff. Now I just got to find someone to fucking play it.
Yeah, well, but the riff isn't even in like a song we're playing yet. Yeah. It will be, but yeah. We're going to get there eventually.
Can we break just for a sec?
Sure, yeah, no worries. And we're back. We just had a quick break there, back into being hard metalheads. Yeah. Little do you know that there was no audio over that, but I was playing Somewhere Over the Rainbow to these fellas on my phone. So if you wanted to see what that sounded like, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, we're gonna cover it now.
We just took a moment to like connect with our emotions to come back even stronger. So we're talking about the contrast between Honest Crooks and Posthuman, and also how you were like, I thought it might have been an Honest Crooks too. How is that difference between the two? Was there any riffs that you wrote or anything that you're like, oh, they weren't good for Crooks, but like might be good for Posthuman? Do you have any like stuff that you reckon would be good?
I don't write for Posthuman.
Okay.
Like Daniel does majority of the instrumental writing. But I was thinking this the other day. We all have our own part in Posthuman. Like that's I think that is one of the separations here. I'm, you know, essentially left alone when it comes to lyrics, except like, you know, Daniel being like a bit of an arsehole academic.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
So some of my phrasings, you know, he'll
just
have suggestions.
Just fiddle with the phonetics and shit like that.
Daniel, you know, he plays guitar. And that's one thing we will mention is most of us play more than one instrument. So it's like, there's a lot of cross-working there. And when it comes to bass, it's the same thing. It's like Daniel will show the part and then Sam will do his thing and make it cool and add runs, add cool shit. And then Mark is just like, he's one of the best drummers
ever.
Ever.
Yeah.
It's fucked up.
He's insane. It's,
yep, that's me.
It's not, I mean, he is in our band, so it probably sounds like we're just talking up our own band.
Yeah, anybody who knows him, though, it's fucked up.
He's obviously not here right now, but he's so gifted that even when we were like 14, 15, 16, he was in the bands with all the older kids. Like, yep. he was like the
Shout
best drummer.
Shout out to Martha Moxley.
When Giant Sleep.
Hell yeah.
He'd be in any band that would... Mm. Because he's that good of a drummer, he was polished a lot. But even now, like he's done a couple of tours with Crooks as a drummer, as a fill-in.
Yep.
And then all the shows with Posthuman, then his old band, What Hunts You, and all that. But he's unmatched. He's just unmatched.
Fucking after our first show, Jared came up to me, our mate Jared.
Yeah.
He came up and just
Deprivation
said,
Jared? Or?
Deprivation yep. Jared, yeah. He came up and was like, I really want Mark to come and jerk me off. Did you see how fast his hands were?
Yeah,
<dude. laughs>
Fuck yeah.
But he makes it look fucking easy.
Yeah.
Jared can only choose someone that can jerk faster than him.
Yeah. Like which would probably be a really hard feat.
Yeah, yeah,
exactly. Right? So.
Yeah, he's all sinew, you know?
Yeah.
Like
yeah,
just,
man.
It's all functional strength.
Yeah.
Yeah. But.
Functional. Yes.
Going on the differences of Crooks and Posthuman, like, I feel that is like one part, because this and like Crooks, I do like the majority if not all, of the writing, mostly with like the guy who produces it as well. And then I wouldn't do the lyrics, but I'd do everything else.
Sure.
Like the actual songwriting, but then again, everyone changed their things. But like Posthuman is just it's more of a collaboration.
Yeah, it's cool because Post has a we can function collectively very well, and we all contribute very different things to the band. And it's not just within the realm of the music, also. It's also just organizational skills and kind of almost like, you know, band logistics skills that come into it. But the cool thing is we can all collaborate very easily and we all complement each other. But like Cal was saying, when we're writing, when we're working the songs out, we can all function very independently and fully trust each other to just do that. Like I can fully just leave all lyrics with Cal. I can leave all the bass with Sam. Same with Mark, all the drums. And we'll kind of convene and figure parts out that we want to lock in. But generally, there's never any worry about, you know, the spirit of a song not actually coming through because someone doesn't, you know, pull through creatively, which is really cool.
The other part is like, and this is something that I really appreciated coming from a non-metal background into like a collaborative writing experience, was in terms of like criticism of other people, of like the other people's work, or like suggesting changes or anything like that, all egos are left at the door. Like, yep. No one walks into like that rehearsal space with the ideology, I'm the best musician in this band.
I don't know what you're talking about. That is exactly what I walk into it.
Yeah, but I beat the fuck out of you until it went away. No, it's...
Hell yeah.
Yeah, it's a very respectful kind of writing environment, which, honestly, compared to like other attempts at bands has been very refreshing.
Hell yeah.
Yeah,
that sounds good, man. It sounds like if you can write separately and come together and still mesh it, that's really cool. That's like a really unique writing style, because a lot of people, a lot of bands that I've interviewed are always like, oh, we all get in a room and just play, or like we all like need to feed off each other a lot more. I feel like it would... It makes it a bit more unique, I think.
I found that like across the time I've been bands, it feels like often like bands function in kind of two ways, and then there are kind of, you know, gradations between, but it's like you'll have bands where you have kind of one person who's like the creative nucleus of the whole thing, and they kind of do most of the work, and then you have bands that all feed off of each other.
Yeah.
And it's cool with Post because it feels like we strike a balance there, and that, you know, for me, it's really gratifying to be able to, you know, write some stuff, you know, demo a bunch of stuff out, and then fully trust everyone to just throw it to them and say, let's make this work somehow.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, it never feels like, one, it never feels like my music gets shut down, which is really cool. It's really exciting. The other thing is, you know, like, you know, Sam was saying, we're very, very open with criticism, and it never comes from a place of like personal criticism. It's always just a matter of we're all just trying to figure out the best way to make the best music.
Mm.
Yeah, well, that was a very answered question, because I fucking led you in such a bum steer with my like, so how much do you steal from crooks? And you just
nothing. We're better.
You just fucking nailed it. Like, there's nothing. There's a legally binding fucking video there. You guys basically like I like how sometimes it's obvious that like I don't even fucking write a lot of my own questions. I don't even write good questions coming into this. I like have generic shit, and then I'll just fucking bumble my way through some bullshit.
Yeah.
And then you guys like start a good conversation, which leads me to the second part of that, which is for people that are listening and watching, is if you were to categorize Posthuman, what would you say? It's so hard to categorize music, but how would you describe
cosmic fucking death?
Cosmic fucking death.
There we go.
That's it.
Is there anyone else in that genre, or did you create it?
There is one band in that genre, and there will only ever be one band in that genre.
Patent pending.
Yeah.
Don't forget Kiss.
It was a lyric from one of our first demos, all unreleased right now. But,
yep. Underground shit.
It was Posthuman 2022 cosmic fucking death.
Yeah.
And then it became so catchy. Now it's on the back of our shirts.
Yeah.
Like, it's, yeah.
It's a any catchphrase for us.
Any bit of media we post is just like...
Have that in it somewhere.
Yeah.
Cosmic, you know, we put out merch and we put cosmic fucking merch. We're late to a show, it's a cosmic fucking delay.
We're currently doing a cosmic fucking interview.
Yeah.
But it's where we're death metal. Of sorts,
yeah.
But there's too many subgenres, and we like, who gives a fuck what we are? We're death metal.
There's so many influences from so many different parts.
It's
like, and all of us have such varied music taste when it comes to like not only metal but just music in general.
Mm.
It was very obvious that the decision wasn't find a genre and stick with it.
Mm.
It was. Write shit that sounds cool,
and the genre kind of just emerges from whatever
sort of
it is.
Falls into a slot somewhere. Well,
that's the way it should be. You should never aim for something; just do it.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's an interesting thing as well because one of the things that's informed the sound we have is that when I started writing for Post, I was kind of listening to a lot more tech death kind of stuff, and you can hear it in some of the earlier stuff. Like there's parts, with, you know, four independent like guitar melodies and shit like that. And then as I went on, like, I started filling in for Crooks. And that bled into my writing, and then the bands I was exposed to on tour, and then the bands I was exposed to just listening-wise started feeding in, and then that kind of mingled with the other stuff. So, you know, there's this kind of weird mix of genres that's ended up bleeding through it. And one of the other things is that, like, we're, you know, right now we're a four-piece.
Yeah.
But, you know, a lot of it's been written as if we're a five-piece or even more, right? So I feel that one of the things that's influenced the genre, per se, is that we use backing tracks live. And we've ended up using the backing tracks not just as a placeholder for another guitarist, but actually as part of the live sound. And that's kind of introduced a cool dynamic in terms of the way we think about putting not only the songs together for recordings, but also how we put it together for a live show. And I think that's had some bearing on, you know, any sort of, you know, idea of genre that we're part of, because it changes the way the music comes out and the way we think about writing it.
Oh yeah. There's some fucking... You got like a doctorate in cosmic fucking death, dude.
Yeah, cosmic fucking like, doctorate.
Yeah. I think that's the first time anyone's ever said per se on the show.
So oh, really?
You fucking... Sweet. You win that. Yeah, so running through the gigs that you've done over the time, I've seen the deprivation gig, and we're chatting about being in other bands doing other gigs. What's the whether it's post-human or not, what's the one of the best gigs you've done, and what's the best post-human gig you've done?
Ooh. Who's starting?
I'm gonna have to think for a second.
Probably we're watching it last night on YouTube. Not post-human. Honest Crooks.
Yeah.
Invasion Fest.
Yeah.
2020.
Oh my God.
Sam is in the front row.
Dislocated my shoulder at that.
Yeah.
Getting stage dove on. I don't know how many people were there, but I think there was, I don't know, like 1,800, maybe more.
Oh yeah.
But we were playing on the smaller stage, so there's still that many people in the building, but not that many people in that room, maybe 1,000 or whatever.
Yeah,
but
dude in the pit got knocked out cold.
Yeah.
Before the music started.
Yeah.
The guitar started feeding back. I turn around and there's a dude spasming on the floor.
Holy shit.
But the whole thing was just...
She's
stage driving.
That's an important thing.
TNs and Air Maxes.
Yeah, yeah, one of each.
Yeah.
So you know that dude's ready to fucking bounce. One's got a springy heel, dude. So you got like one higher than the other.
Yeah,
yeah. That's a pit kid.
And I think, as far as post-human shows go, I don't think we've. Like it might sound a bit insincere, but I don't think we've had a bad show.
Yeah.
Like with, as far as we've personally been unhappy with, what we're doing.
Yeah.
We've had a couple of shows that like our first couple of shows, I guess, maybe didn't have as many people attending.
Yeah.
And I guess like, I don't want to keep comparing Crooks in this interview, but like going from a Crooks show to a post-human show, it's like, you know, a small empty room.
Yeah. It's like when you restart the game because you're fucked
up. Yeah, exactly.
Level one again.
Yeah, yeah.
But still lots
of fun.
But
you know what you knew from the end of the last game, so you kind of...
Yeah, you can speedrun.
Yeah, yeah.
like just like fields.
Yeah, oh, yes.
But that deprivation show was pretty fun.
Yep.
We built a really big crowd for that one. And then we've done a house show that was also fun. It was like maybe I want to say like 150 people, all kids, all younger.
Yep.
So it was an all ages thing, and it kind of like gives you a bit of hope for the future of this genre or this scene.
Yeah. This rock we're on. Yeah.
Yeah, because that's the shit we were doing when we were younger.
Yeah.
But there's been a big gap between us doing it and anyone else doing it, to the same capacity, and those guys are doing it real well. I'd say like Thantu Thika and all that, like their crew, they've been my good shows.
I think for me, there's a couple that are tied in terms of just cool shows, but like I think in terms of just like a really cool show experience, the first time I went on tour with Crooks was with Xibalba, and that was just like a super fun, because that was the first tour I ever did, and I was super fortunate in that just I got welcomed into doing such a cool tour for the first thing I ever did, which is fucking sick. But for me, the best show was when we hit Canberra, and then it was like we hit Canberra, we played here at the Basement, and it was just like I didn't realize that there's this much of an active scene here, and it was cool seeing so many old faces of people I knew when I was in What Hunts You and, you know, bands before and the scene, you know, like a decade before.
Mm.
And then seeing all those people there and then seeing a bunch of new faces as well, which was really cool. That was a really exciting show, not because it was like, you know, one of the biggest, but it was just for me as a guy from Canberra, it was nice to see that many people there and be so welcome back into the scene after I'd taken such a long gap away from it. But in terms of post shows, for me, I really enjoyed the release show.
Yeah.
We did. It's coming out.
He just did quotations for anyone that's listening.
Yeah, yeah. We did a release show. The demo has not been released, but it will be released soon. But that was a really, like, that was an exciting show to see that many people rock up to see us play.
Nice.
And we kind of crammed in changing the set just before that, added a new song in. It was a longer set, and it all just went really well. And
I wrote lyrics on the Tuesday. We played on the Friday.
Yeah.
Practiced in my car for an hour.
Yeah, dude.
We had to teach Cal how to use in-ear monitors.
I wore them backwards for the first half an hour.
Yeah, for the sound check, backwards? He wore them backwards. Yeah. It's like, I think I need to take these back. They're not very loud.
Hell yeah. It's a bit like, that's like the equivalent of like when you play the record in reverse, you can hear the demon sounds.
Yeah.
Throwing him in reverse.
That release show, for me, that was super exciting to see so much support for, you know, for what is in effect like such a new band. That was super, super exciting. And it's like, you know, first show with in-ears, all of us having click tracks, which is so fucking cool, because, you know, no count-ins, just coming in strong on songs, like all that just felt super nice. And that was all the first show together that felt that tight, and it was in such a fun, cool context.
Yeah, that's been one of the biggest things that I pushed for
for
post, as like a contrast to Honest Crooks. Honest Crooks is a very like raw band, and like it's very cool to see it live, but like there's so many tools that can make Posthuman sound fucking enormous in a small room and make us sound really tight as well.
It's like big stage stuff on a small stage.
There's been some amount of pushback on like pushing those kinds of things, like more advanced gear and like doing things in a slightly different way. But it's something that's really added a lot.
Yeah, it's added an enormously important dimension to putting a live show together.
We've got soundscapes between nearly every song, whether we go for like, you know, 5 seconds or if they go for a minute.
Yeah.
And another thing we do is whoever's doing lights for the shows, we tell them to kill the lights completely while we're not playing. It's absolute darkness between songs, and then as soon as the song comes in, it's fucking strobe lights, smoke machines, and like big, bright, you know.
Nice.
Yeah.
Everything is just chaotic, and we want that. Like the whole word cosmic death, we want that to be seen, heard, and felt.
Yeah.
Like everything is around that.
That's good, man. That's like a good, I guess it's good to, I mean, in marketing, it's called branding, but like that sounds wanky. But yeah, it's good to have kind of like a bit of a theme, I think is good. Like it's nearly like if you could just do the lighting with no band on there and guess which band it was and know that it was you guys. Like it's like, oh, we're going to just show you random lighting. And
that was a minute and 15 seconds of complete darkness. It must be post-human.
That's called string change. What about you, Sam? What's your highlights?
Look, to jump on the bandwagon, the release show, or as I like to refer to it as the pre-release show. That was some of the most fun I've had on stage in a very long time. Just like there's something different for having a crowd reaction to what you're doing, and it's like not fueled by something else. I've never been in a band that's been like the headline on a bill.
Yeah.
Okay. And that was a cool first for me.
Sure.
That was sick.
Yeah.
But outside of post, like I did a pop punk covers band, played a 2-hour set at the Basement. That was fucking grueling.
Yeah.
Absolutely sick, grueling. It was so much fun.
It looked sick. It also looked fucked. Like, like it looked sick for you guys and sick for the I think I worked that night.
Yeah.
And it looked sick for the fucking audience.
Yeah, we had like 150 people pushed up to the stage. Fuck,
that would have been grueling, like it was, you said, dude.
Oh dude, like I broke a string on two different guitars throughout that set.
Yep.
Jared fractured his finger. Because Jared from Deprivation played drums for it.
Yeah.
Like the second last song or something. 30 seconds from the end of it, he smashed his hand on the rim of his snare drum and fractured his finger. Fuck. I'm fairly sure.
Yeah, so
played the last few songs after that as well.
That's
what a
wild
fucking trooper. But yeah, no, that was fun.
What
was
really a fucking cool ginger. So
get him.
Callum, are you, I just midway through I'm talking to fucking Sam and you just captured
really
a fucking
hard to
fly
not stop the fucking sentence.
Like we've just both realized that you just like stopped the fly that's been pissing everyone off for the last, oh, I don't know, fucking 33 minutes.
It's cosmic fucking entrapment.
Good stuff, dude. You you had an early release, like a pre-release show.
Yeah.
Do you have any stuff ready to go out? What's the plan on the release?
So it's we're working with Matt Clark, who's also he's the bass player for the band To the Grave. He's engineered a ton of cool bands.
Cool.
And he's done the sound that we were kind of looking into, because once it comes out, you'll when you listen to it, you understand. Like it's not kind of like your typical tight, clean, polished death metal.
I don't know what your turnaround time was on these episodes.
Oh, so I forgot to mention. Yeah, this one. Well, I've got some wriggle room on release. So if you'd prefer to put this out once it's out, I can. But it's
we'll do that.
Yeah,
we'll continue. But that won't be long. It'll be in the next like hopefully 2 weeks.
Yeah. Okay. Mm. Well, so if you're listening to this now, it's been released.
The music exists.
It exists now.
We come to you from the past. It was the mere 2024. That this was only going to take 2 weeks. And now it's the year 2030. And finally, I've gone back in. If I appear from a time machine right here to stop me from saying this, I'll stop. Okay,
we're
it's
good,
fine.
We're good. It's only a 3-track. It was really a 2-track with an instrumental.
Yep.
It's called Vehicle of Illimitable Dictatorship.
Okay.
And it's very raw sounding.
Yeah.
Like in the best sense. Like it's it's powerful. It's got the like the HM2 bitey guitars. Like it's the mix is loud. It's super aggressive. So it's kind of like that raw death metal sound, but then like with faster, techier playing, I guess.
Yep.
But yeah, so it's all we self-recorded.
Yeah.
Between the four of us, I'm pretty sure there's something on there from all of us at some stage.
Yeah.
As in where it was recorded.
Yep.
You know, in one of our bedrooms, like, because we all have recording setups. We all kind of do our own shit.
Mad.
But yeah, it's already out.
Yeah.
Yeah. That music that is out.
You can find it on Spotify, on YouTube.
Yeah, wherever it is, I'll just link it.
It'll be around.
There's a music video.
Because it's out.
Yeah.
The music video that is definitely out right now.
Yeah.
It's called Possessed, and it's on Slam Worldwide YouTube channel.
I love that channel, dude.
Yeah.
I actually think you got me onto it like years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. I
find the best bands on there.
Dude, I would just
Yeah.
I just chuck on a like a playlist and just let it roll.
Yeah,
it's so fucking good. If I don't know how to do this, but basically, however it's released, I'll put the links like in the description and shit for this video, so that like people don't need to like look it up and it'll be linked. But yeah, either way, I do have a question. We'll wrap it up because that's sitting on half an hour, which is a good length. Cool. If you guys are happy with that,
that's cool.
But I do have a question though for you, Cal. When it comes to artwork and that sort of stuff, do you ever find that like it helps with your setup and shit to kind of have like a bit of an idea how like lighting and fucking like graphics and all that sort of shit works when it comes to like not just like merch and shit, but actual stage show, like having a bit of an idea of production?
Well, with the last couple of shows we've done, as far as the lighting and production, I'm terrible at giving briefs. But in the same way, I want to keep it simple. So it was Joel that did the lighting last time, and it was no lights between the set.
Yeah.
And when you hear his play, fucking make it wild. He also had a click track in his ears our set, so he could do things timed as well.
Well,
but what I guess we plan on doing eventually is having our set linked with MIDI. So it'll be MIDI and then DMX out. So we essentially press play on a laptop, and then the lights are automated. They're all built from us, and we can use them in any room.
Nice.
Essentially, you might have to make a couple of variations for different rooms, but that's essentially how it works these days.
That's cool.
You just run it from a laptop, and you have it playing with your click track, with your music. Like,
wow.
Technology. Yeah.
Damn it.
What a fucking time to be alive.
One last thing, though. I wanted to say about the what is Posthuman?
Yeah.
And what's the concept? Because as I said, like, I feel it's like, for me anyway, it's like quite a big part of how I see the band, and like how it keeps me invested and interesting. Like, not obviously like hanging with my best friends and like playing music.
Yeah.
Of course, is keeping me doing what I'm doing.
That's the gayest thing you've ever said.
Shut up. But
cut that out.
Creative wise for me, like, because I'm not playing guitar, I'm just doing vocals, I'm doing the artwork, like I shot the music video, and then like all the like the b-roll and like the weird shit that you'll see in it. We just got naked and they ran the bushlands and covered ourselves in paint and rolled around for a while and filmed it. You'll that understand when you watch it.
No, the other thing was still gay.
And then, but the concept of Paul Human is, I'll do it as brief as possible because I'm actually,
which is difficult to do.
Well, I'm actually currently writing, like somewhat, I want it to be like a graphic novel.
Yeah.
Where I'm doing the paintings. And like every couple of pages there'll be a painting and then the rest is just the story of Posthuman. And I don't think we'll ever release it as a merch item or anything, maybe one day, but maybe just fucking do it as like a PDF online or something, I don't know.
Sure. Yeah,
it's just,
it's definitely, it's
just
not fun. A manifesto.
You know, our,
it might
our,
be a manifesto.
our EP has the word dictatorship in it. Posthuman is about all the planets are gods, or they represent gods. Earth doesn't have a god, so the planets essentially elect someone like a human to become the god of Earth and give him the powers necessary to be the spirit of Earth. But the prophecy was wrong, and they accidentally chose the wrong person. So they gave this human all this power, and they end up destroying the Earth and then challenging the other planets and. They become like the fascist dictator of Earth. And they're rising beasts from the sea, Leviathan, Gargantuan, and like Cthulhu, like everything. He's got abilities where he can like take apart whole countries of people and stitch them back together and form them to make like night creatures, like. That was kind of like a Castlevania reference. But essentially he's like this mad crazy wizard that can do whatever the fuck he wants, and he's got this army of like things.
Is that why you do the thing where you like cast spells on stage while you're doing spells?
Because the lyrics are all from my point, from his point of view.
Yeah.
And like he is
a Freudian slip.
he is the this, you know, crazy powerful.
What a fucking crazy, like so much potential for mad artwork and shit as well.
And that's obviously, I explained this really briefly. But like, if you ever read the text, it's like
The script, the scroll.
It's super fucking nerdy. It's very nerdy.
It's very like, fantasy nerd kind of.
But not in the way of like I didn't want it to, people to think it'd be like Star Wars because it's cosmic and all that. It's cosmic in the way of like, you know,
think more like Lovecraft.
Lord of the Rings, but with, you know, with more planetary
more
influence.
Yeah, good man. That's I like a good theme with, like, I know a lot of bands have themes with their material and artwork. So that's gonna be the gift that keeps on giving. Like having that through theme, like helps influence lyrics, artwork, merch, all this shit can all stem off that.
I've only dipped my toes into this world.
Yeah.
And this world can, there's so many opportunities. Like we can all sit down and just like throw a theme in and that theme you could write another, you know, 10,000 words on.
Yeah, and the cool thing about it as well is that like as writing impetus, it's neat to be able to sit down and come up with, you know, tangents adjacent to the story and be like, well, that we could do a demo on that.
Yeah.
You know, and then we can return to the world and do this, you know, you can have side stories that occur within this world, and that can
like a narrative through the whole album.
And, you know, it's a narrative that can have a lot of branches. It's not just a singular
thing. They don't have to be completely related.
Yeah.
But musically as well, like we don't use that theme as a crutch. Like it's something that enhances the music. So like if you're into that stuff, then like this music is going to be fucking sick.
Yeah.
But at the same time, if you like to show up to shows and punch people in the head in the crowd,
you still do that.
This music is still going to be fucking sick.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, that's cool, man. Well, fuck, that's... finally, the album is definitely out right now, and it'll be linked in the bio, the music video as well. And... you know, all variations on that, just covering all the bases. As far as merch and stuff goes, is that planned with the down the track as well, or you've got merch already?
We've got two shirts up at the moment on Big Cartel.
Yep.
One of which is limited edition.
Yeah, but there'll be definitely hoodies in winter, probably some like beanies or whatever.
Yeah.
The usual bullshit that bands do, you know, we'll do it.
Yeah. Nice. Awesome. Well, thanks for being on the show, fellas, and thanks for thanks everyone for listening. It's cool to have a new band on with so much experience already. So, and I'll try not to leave it fucking like whatever 90 odd episodes between chats. Cool. Cheers. Thanks, everybody.
Cheers.
Oh, nice. Outro track. Do you want to chuck something at the end of this and announce it now, like a song? If so, we've already closed it up, but if there is a song that you want to just chuck get in a crunk, sample from,
get crunk, brought broke inside. Inside.
Yeah,
let's take it away with that then.
Nah, it could be any like we've anything from the three track.
I reckon the interlude, void. Yeah.
The interlude is only a minute 40, so that's probably
a good one. Yeah, or even I've sometimes just used a section from a song so that I'm not putting the whole song out so people listen to it.
Yeah, I reckon the interlude would be a good one to go out on.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right.
This is void.
Yeah, this is void.